This is Our Pastimes Podcast, presented by USA Baseball. Here is your host, Joe DiRienzo.
Hello and welcome to Our Pastimes Podcast, presented by USA Baseball. It's Wednesday, September 2nd, and coming up on today's show, the 15U national team has returned to the U.S. after winning gold at the Pan Am Championships. I'll have Brooks Webb on to talk about their big win, plus the 18U national team is now in the super round of the World Cup in Japan, so I'll update you on how their tournament has gone so far. But first, let's see what's leading off. The 15U national team won gold at the Copabe AA Pan American Championships. They defeated Colombia 9-5 in the gold medal game to win the second ever gold medal in the 15U national team's short program history. Ryder Green hit a 2-RBI double in the first to start things off for Team USA, and they added two more in the second thanks in part to an RBI triple by Jaden Fine. Colombia got on the board in the fifth with a pair of runs, but a 4-run sixth inning extended Team USA's lead beyond their reach. Jared Hart capped off the scoring in the sixth with a 2-RBI double. Brandon Bossier picked up the win on the mound, throwing six innings and allowing just two runs on three hits. It was an all-around great win and great event overall for the 15U national team. Four players made the all-around tournament team: Tristan Casas, Jeremiah Jackson, Justin Henry Malloy, and Jared Hart. And Malloy was named the tournament MVP. Joining me now over the phone is 15U National Team Director Brooks Webb. Brooks, how'd it feel to take that flight home with gold medals around your neck?
Well, it's always a really good feeling when you can end a hard-fought journey with a gold medal and being able to see the smiles and the excitement on the kids and the coaching staff's face when they realize that the hard work that they've put in over the last couple of weeks over the selection events and through trials and through training and to see a group that's working towards one goal, that being a gold medal, and to see that all come to fruition. It's just a really great feeling for me just to be able to see it all come together and our guys, all the credit in the world to those players who just showed the resolve throughout the entire tournament, overcoming adversity on multiple different occasions and a coaching staff that just made sure our players were ultimately prepared for that final game and really every game leading towards that gold medal. So all the credit in the world to those guys, but just an unbelievable feeling to be able to travel back from Mexico. And when we watch our guys, head to their gates and travel back all across the country to their hometowns, knowing that they're going to be able to get off that plane wherever they're from and say, hey, I want a gold medal for my country. That's a feeling that, they're very fortunate to be able to have. And it was just an awesome ending to an awesome trip.
It's the second gold medal in the 15U national team's just 3 years of international competition, last year being the only one where the team didn't come back with gold, silver instead. So what has the road been like since getting silver in 2014 to now for you?
Well, the expectation every single time USA Baseball takes the field is a gold medal. And, that's something that I think that for players and people that look at it from the outside can be taken for granted, because the path and the road to gold is never easy, and it's certainly not guaranteed because, baseball is such an international game and other countries are obviously have rich tradition of winning gold medals. And when you look at the Cubas and Venezuelas and, some of the countries out there in the Pan Am, you look at a Pan Am tournament competition, you say, hey, that road may be just as tough, if not tougher, than trying to win a world championship. And obviously last year in the 15U World Cup, we had a very, very good team who ultimately came up a little bit short to a very good Cuba team. And that's just one of those things where you look at it and say, hey, that's baseball. But it leaves a sour taste in your mouth when you sit there and say, hey, we had the pieces and the team and the coaching staff to bring home that gold medal, and you do fall short. And, we had two coaches on our coaching staff this year who were a part of that coaching staff last year. And I think it's something where when we started putting the pieces together for this year, we said we can't let that happen again. So not that you put any more work into it than you do for any other year, but it's always in the back of your mind of, hey, how can we, what can we do a little bit differently? What can we change to make sure that we don't fall short this year? And Coach Washburn, our manager, just did such an unbelievable job of making sure our guys really understood how hard it was going to be to get to the top. And that's one of the things that we always worry about is we tell these guys all the time, hey, we want to win a gold medal. We want to win a gold medal. But what is the process that it takes to get there? And that starts with your expectations, you know, off the field. And that starts with your 40 guys at trials and making sure they understand the work that they're going to have to put in and the honor it is to represent their country. And when we wrapped up trials and selected our 20-man roster, you know, I haven't felt that good in a long time just about really the energy level of a team and what we thought they were going to bring to the field every single day. And the brotherhood, they really started to, you know, put together kind of on that first night, even before we got on the field as Team USA, and just seeing the passion they had for playing the game of baseball. But just a really great group of guys that we looked at and said, hey, before we even run out a starting lineup, before we even put together a rotation, this is a group that has a chance to do something really special. And at that point, once you kind of realize what you've got, you know, you stop worrying about what happened last year, and obviously you start moving forward to this year. And that's something that Coach Washburn and I have talked about so many times is, hey, last year happened. We came up a little bit short. We won the silver medal. But it's time to turn the page and get back to a gold medal standard and trying to get our guys to understand what it was going to take to get there. And they certainly did that and wrapped it up with that gold medal.
Yeah, there really was only one bump in the road on your way to gold this year as far as the win-loss column goes. It was a big loss, though, to Cuba. You guys fell 13-3, and you mentioned the team always had their eyes on that gold and keeping their standards high, but how did they handle that loss and moving forward afterwards to get right back up and start winning again?
Well, if you talk about, you know, having any concern over the course of when you're on the road to a gold medal or playing in a tournament, it's a loss like that. And it wasn't a 7-6 extra inning loss or a game that could have gone either way. You know, really after the second or third inning, I think when it was a 5-3 ball game, you know, we just started kicking the ball around and just couldn't get anything to go right for us. Had some hard hit balls right at people early, and it just kind of snowballed from there. And Cuba played very, very well. And it was something where you look back and knowing that there are several countries that are capable of winning the gold medal, Cuba being one of them, you say, hey, you know, does this team have enough to get to where we need to be? And the beauty of the setup of the tournament is it was round robin. You get to play every single country in the competition, and then the top two will ultimately play for gold. So we knew that we still controlled our own destiny and that we would have a chance to see those guys again if the situation presented itself and we'd be better because of it. At the end of the day, it didn't fall like that as Cuba ultimately dropped a few more games along the way. But for us, not knowing what the future held, it was, hey, how can we respond from this? You know, are our guys going to be able to get off of the mat? We talked a lot about what are you going to do when you get punched in the mouth, whether that is some adversity you face off the field or a team that may beat you on the field. Are you going to have the character and the resolve to get up off the mat? And how do you respond on the field? And it wasn't going to get any easier for our guys because the next night we were going to face a Panama team who was very, very good in their own right, had some big wins along the way. I think they were coming off of a mercy rule victory the day before. So going into that next day, we knew, you know, there was no time to sulk, no time to pout, no time to say, hey, you know, we lost. Let's try to get back to this winning way. We didn't have a choice but to get back to the winning way because another loss could have potentially done us in as far as, you know, competing for a medal was concerned. So that was one of the biggest things that that the coaching staff talked about to our players that night. They said, hey, this doesn't define us. This isn't anything that keeps us from trying to reach that ultimate prize. But you've got to forget about this victory. We're not going to talk about it again. We're going to learn from it. And we said, hey, we're moving on to Panama. And this is what we've got tomorrow. And we're going to bring a completely different outlook and completely different approach to the park. And really from the first inning on, you could see the energy level in our dugout. There was no sulking. There was no, hey, we got 10-run rule the night before. We're moving on and we're going to play that game. And early on, like I said, Panama, just the way they – attacked the game, did a really good job of putting pressure on us. And the turning point, I think, for us in that game, and really for me moving forward, there was a 2-1 contest early on, two outs, Panama runners on second and third, and they had a guy that smoked the ball down the left field line. And if that ball gets past our left fielder, it's a 2-RBI triple. They take the lead, and who knows what happened. But Jared Hart, who actually led the tournament in hitting, just made an unbelievable diving catch down the left field line for the third out. Obviously kept the runners from scoring. and seeing our guys pour out of the dugout and understanding the importance of the moment and keeping USA with the lead, and just understanding that, hey, if that ball gets past him, like I said, who knows what happens. And that play for us really gave us the momentum that I don't think we relinquished for the entire game. We went off to rattle off, I believe, 11 more runs and win the game 13-3. But it's just awesome because baseball is such a funny game. You can pinpoint one play or look back at a moment to really turn things in your favor. That's what we needed in that game. And really from there, we didn't look back, you know, from that point forward as we won that game and obviously the four past that.
We'll be back with more from 15U National Team Director Brooks Webb in just a moment. Panini America is proud to be the exclusive trading card manufacturer of USA Baseball. Before the game's biggest superstars reach the show, they don the stars and stripes, and Panini America is there to chronicle that monumental step in a player's career with the most collectible trading cards, autographs, and memorabilia in the industry, all officially licensed by USA Baseball. Get yours today at your local trading card store or online at iCollectPanini.com. That's iCollectPanini.com. Brooks Webb is talking gold medal victory here on our Pastimes podcast. His 15U national team came away with the victory at the Pan Am Championships in Mexico. So, Brooks, before you and the team even went to Mexico, there was a lot of focus on brotherhood and teamwork and how important all of that factored into succeeding and winning gold. So how impactful do you think that team-first mindset was in your eventual success at the Pan Am Championships?
Well, as far as the team is concerned, and when you want those guys to play as a unit and be brothers, it's tough because at the end of the day, what you're looking at is a very short window before you go and compete internationally. So you're always trying to do things in practice and even back to trials a little bit of getting those guys to bond and to be brothers. And that's tough in such a short time frame. You don't have 2-3 months to train with these players. You've got a few exhibition games, a few practices, and then you're stepping into a hostile environment, international country, and asking these guys to be Team USA. And that's where your coaching staff comes huge into play. It's not necessarily about the scouting or the on-field stuff. How can they get these guys to gel and to bond? And when we left trials, it was kind of weird because, there's 20 guys going home at the end of that week. And we sat down before we had our final meeting with the players to announce the 20-man roster. And the two, the Stars and Stripes team, the red and blue team at trials, we thought at the end of that week, with 20 guys knowing they're probably going home at the end of that night, we felt like that unit of 40 had just bonded in a way we hadn't seen before, which is really, really cool to see. Just because some of those guys that very well may have known that they probably didn't do enough that week to make the club. But we're just awesome kids to have around. They knew that they had a chance to be a part of that process and be a part of something that could be very special and end up with a gold medal. And then when we finally announced the 20-man roster, and you see the emotion on some of these kids' faces, just genuine emotion of understanding how cool it was for them to make Team USA and the opportunity they had in front of them, that's when we kind of knew that, this team does have a chance to do something special. But then when you get the 20-man roster on the field, and you take some punches in the mouth early, losing an exhibition game to the 14U National Team Development Program, a very, very talented group of 40 guys, with our 14U NTDP. But for us, a little bit humbling because we won the first game, didn't play as well as we could have, second game come out, and they beat us. And that just goes to show our guys that nobody's ever going to give you anything. And honestly, was exciting for the 15U program, understanding 40 of those guys are coming down the pipeline for 2016. But exciting for me as the director to kind of watch our guys have to face some adversity when it doesn't necessarily hurt you. And our guys really took that from that point forward, faced a very good 16U team the next day at our final exhibition game. And from that point forward, for me as the director, it kind of said, hey, there's not any adversity these guys can't figure out a way to work through. And that was proven, again, with the loss to Cuba and how we bounced back from that. But just every single day, watching our coaching staff kind of bring those guys together and see them perform as a unit in practice or whether it was off the field. And really, ultimately, when we got to games, was just awesome to see. And, from point A to the very end, as we're headed home, just to see the friendships and the bonds that those guys built It's just something that you're never going to forget in the relationships that you'll have for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and getting through that adversity takes grit. And that's another word that consistently followed you and this 15U team through the journey. I know you had a lot to do with grit becoming a part of the vocabulary of all of these players. So why did you choose grit? How did that come about?
Well, Jason Washburn and I have known each other for several years now and operate on the same wavelength in many different regards in baseball and in life. And as he and I were talking several months ago about, different ways, you always look for a key word to use as a trigger for your team. And sometimes it just develops, and sometimes you can think of things along the way that maybe you can, use coming into trials and as a principle of the day or a theme of the day for practice or whatever that may be. And we just started talking about different things, and somehow grit came up as a topic between he and I. And, the definition of grit ultimately has to do with strength of character, and I mentioned earlier resolve and courage. And I heard it described one time as a sustained perseverance. And sustained perseverance for me, as it relates to USA Baseball and Team USA, is it couldn't describe it any other way, from trials all the way to the chance to compete for a gold medal, because you're going to have to persevere through a lot of different challenges, a lot of different situations. And when we kind of looked at it from a 15U perspective, we said, hey, that's a great way that, we can ultimately rally our guys around that word, a very simple word, but one that can be very impactful. And we came up with a little saying that GRIT, grit, gold equals relentless, intense, and tough. Three more words that our guys could very easily relate to, and was just kind of a rallying point for our guys to be able to say, hey, we want you to have the grit to do this every single day. And ultimately, that prize for you at the end, if you can be relentless, if you can be intense, if you can be tough on the baseball field and the things that you're going to have an opportunity to do, then you've got a very good chance of ending up with a gold medal. And our guys, they loved it, and our coaching staff embraced it. And it's something that, kind of from day one of trials, we tried to instill in these guys, and to be able to see them persevere and through the different sets of challenges that we faced and the different levels of competition and the ability to stay locked in every single game from inning one through inning nine. Was just awesome to see, and the grit that they ultimately brought to the field, not just the players, but the staff and the support staff, from day one of trials, through coming back from Mexico yesterday, was very much a gritty thing. And we had a lot of guys who did show courage and did show resolve, and the character, I think, of our players and staff are ultimately what helped lead us to a gold medal.
Well, you guys did really show grit through all the challenges you faced. You took them all in stride, and you ended up with a gold medal because of all of it. So, Brooks, thank you for taking the time here, and congrats once again on bringing home gold.
Thanks a lot, Joe. I appreciate the time, and keep up the good work.
Coming up next, we'll close out the show with an update on the 18U national team, which is through the Super Round at the World Cup in Japan. You're listening to our Pastimes podcast. There's only one way to get exclusive gear worn by the players on Team USA, and that's from the USA Baseball Shop. For official licensed USA Baseball gear, everything from performance apparel to hoodies, jackets, t-shirts, hats, and more, head over to usabaseballshop.com and be sure to follow USA Baseball Shop on Twitter and Instagram for exclusive deals and new merchandise. The 18U national team finished the opening round of pool play at the WBSC U18 World Cup with a 4-1 record, which helped them move on to the Super Round. They outscored opponents 32-8 in those games, with the lone loss coming to top-seeded Japan 3-0. The tournament started off with an 11-1 victory over the Czech Republic for Team USA. Mike Amdidas hit 3 RBI singles, and Austin Bergner struck out 9 batters in his 6 shutout innings to lead the team to victory. After dropping Game 2 to Mexico, the 18U national team won their next decision 5-1 over Mexico. Pitching led the way in that game as Kevin Gowdy threw 5 2/3 innings and allowed just 1 run while striking out 6 batters, and Ian Anderson followed him up with 3 1/3 innings without allowing a run and striking out 5 more batters. Australia was next up on the schedule, and they too fell 11-1 to Team USA. Nick Prado dominated on the mound, allowing just 2 hits in his 8 innings of work. He also had a pair of hits at the plate, joining Morgan McCullough, Cole Stobie and Blake Rutherford as the four players who had multi-hit games for Team USA. The final game of the opening round came against Brazil, who kept the game close until late. The 18U team was up 3-2 heading into the seventh inning, but then extended their lead on RBI hits by Nick Prado and Blake Rutherford to seal a 5-2 win and move on to the Super Round. The 18U team will face Korea in the Super Round opener on Thursday, September 3rd. With that, today's episode of our Pastimes podcast has come to a close. Next week will be the final weekly episode of the summer. The 18U national team bookends what has been a very busy and exciting summer for USA Baseball, and once they're wrapped up, our Pastimes podcast will go bi-weekly in the off-season, with plenty of alumni content and looking ahead to what 2016 holds for the organization. But for now, keep up with the 18U national team in Japan by following USA Baseball on Twitter and going to usabaseball.com for game recaps and more. And remember to tune in September 10th on usabaseball.com for the NTIS selection show, which announces players chosen for the 2016 12U, 15U, 18U, and women's national team trials, as well as the 14U and 17U national team development programs. For today's guest, Brooks Webb, I'm Joe DiRienzo. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to USA Baseball's presentation of our Pastimes podcast. For upcoming episodes and the complete archive of our Pastimes podcast, find us on iTunes or head to usabaseball.com.